Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Football Friday to you. Mitchell, strike up the band. Give it to me. Give it to me. Put it in my veins. Please. Now.
All right,
That's the Football Friday music that we've come to know and love right there. They're coming in on a Friday after the highly traditional Thursday Notre Dame football game. Yeah. I don't ever get to do this. I indulge
you. Yeah.
Indulge
I guess, but now I'm feeling guilty that we didn't play Texas's anything from the University of Texas. As Texas becomes the only respectable team in the SEC, yesterday afternoon's dispatching of Georgia.
Yeah.
Booted right out.
Boom.
Got people being like, hey, these SEC teams, they've had too much rest. It's not fair. It's not fair that they had an extra week of rest.
It's
crazy. That's why.
Yeah.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy that the SEC's dominance is dying.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Texas in a little bit of a way, because it's kind of like, it's like some young teenager from Rhode Island who joined the British Army in 1775. He's like, yeah, we're the winners, right? Yeah, this is the big, this is the big dominant force in empire.
You picked the wrong side, yeah. Except
independent and or the...
if that soldier still was getting paid $30 million a year. Like, yeah, you're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
But the money is huge.
I don't feel too bad for Texas, but they are the only... It's just notable that with Notre Dame, you got a good job. That was a great game. That was a great 54 seconds, really.
It was the end
of the second quarter and the beginning of the third quarter It just that was pretty much the sum total of everything. And then Notre Dame, that was fun watching Notre Dame's defense.
A bunch of
psychotic murderers there, just flying around all over the place in Georgia's backfield.
Well, they're missing their two best guys, too. By the way, good morning, everybody. Welcome in on a Football Friday. We got a lot to get to today. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. My alma mater won last night. They won a major bowl game, Seth, for the first time in almost 30 years to the day, January 1st, 1994. They've won bowl games since then, but not the major, you know, Cotton, Sugar, Orange, Fiesta, blah, blah, blah. The last time...
Any of the commodities.
Any of the commodities or anything sponsored by a big company like FedEx or Tostitos, yeah. The last time they won a major bowl game before last night, a young lad by the name of Kevin Pendergast kicked the winning field goal against the Aggies in 1994. My 53-year-old brother kicked the winning field goal, almost blocked by Aaron Glenn in that game.
Yeah,
there's a picture.
Yeah.
I sent you the picture. I think it was a picture of my brother following through on the field goal, and Aaron Glenn is face down on the ground. And so, if you're looking, people don't know what my brother looks like, but if you're looking for some context, go look at Aaron Glenn coordinating the Detroit defense right now with his gray beard and his gray hair. He was coming off the edge, screaming off the edge, trying to block the game-winning field goal the last time Notre Dame won a major bowl game. That's how long
it's
been.
Was he really that close, or was it just the classic, okay, the guy's coming off the edge? It always looks like they should be able to, but the timing just isn't
I don't
right.
I don't remember. This is the only thing I remember about that field goal, is that it was a 31-yard field goal, and if it was, my brother was kicking it from 33 yards, probably doesn't make it. Like, it was skewing way right.
Yeah.
And it went in, but it was like, I remember my dad and I sitting there like, oh, man, thank God that was a 31-yarder.
Time slowed down, huh?
It did, big time, man.
Were you there? Where were you sitting?
I was there. I was there. I was sitting with the families there. Good seats.
You're right, but where in the stadium?
Like at about the 40-yard line. Yeah, like around midfield. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had an okay vantage point of it. So, yeah, man, that was big. And I think you touched on it. I think the biggest story. So the quarterfinals are now in the books. We've got our blue blood Final Four here. I think if the powers that be were to have drawn this up before the bracket or even before the season started, and you're like, you're going to get UT versus Ohio State on one side and Penn State, Notre Dame on the other side.
Yeah.
I think they would have been cool with that. I think the TV execs are cool with it. I think it's going to be a really fun Final Four. But I think you touched on it, man. Like we've talked so much, Seth, about the NIL and how it's been, and the portal too. We can't ignore the portal. The portal and the NIL and the combination of the two.
Right.
And you and I, when the 12-team bracket came out, I know you and I talked about like, oh wow, this has really made it a more of an even playing field for the Indianas and the SMUs of the world. Maybe the bigger story is that it's the Alabamas and the Georgias and the SEC as a whole. Or at least coming back to the rest of the world a little bit. They're still the most talented conference. They'll still have, of the top 100 players drafted in the NFL, 50 of them are still going to be SEC players. But Nick Saban's not there anymore. Alabama and Georgia, they got NIL, but so these other schools. Like SMU is in the tournament. Now, like SMU's got a lot of really rich alumni that went to that school.
Well,
you know?
Even the schools that can't compete on the top line budget can still afford to yank away some of the studs from the SEC. So some of the smaller schools or less rich schools are still going to be able to take some of the guys out of the SEC that aren't necessarily marquee guys, but that make up the sum total of why the SEC has been so dominant.
Great point.
And yeah, over time, it probably balances out. We're still way, way early on this.
Yeah.
And it might just be a matter of, okay, it's going to take the SEC 3 years to really figure out how to be better than everybody else at the NIL and transfer portal game. But it's nice to see like some sliver of hope that we might end up with more of a wide open college football.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit of new, right? I mean, Ohio State's been great with Ryan Day there, but they're the favorite now to win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And there's no Alabama or Georgia sitting in their way. Texas is, that's a big brand. They were in the Final Four last year, but here they are again, and now they're underdogs again, like pretty substantial for the Final Four game. They're nearly a touchdown underdog to Ohio State. And you got Notre Dame and Penn State on the other side, two schools that used to play each other every year back in the 80s and 90s, and now they're playing each other again.
So I know the timing of these games and the rounds and everything is so out of whack that I'm very disoriented. I'm guessing that what these semifinal games are going to be, President's Day? Valentine's Day? What? When are we going to do this?
Thursday?
Easter?
Thursday and Friday of next week.
Okay.
And the it's scheduled for the Notre Dame and Penn State are in the Orange Bowl. And that's on Thursday night. And then Texas and Ohio State are scheduled for the Cotton Bowl, which should, I would imagine, be a very Texas-heavy crowd.
Mm.
That's scheduled for Friday night. There had been some chatter about flipping those around because Notre Dame, the winner of the Sugar Bowl, was going to be coming in on so much less rest than Penn State. I don't see any way you switch the date of two entire games that are essentially it's like switching around the AFC and NFC title games.
You're already asking these fan bases to do way more traveling,
dude,
and everything else than they've ever been asked to do.
That's
right around right after you've spent your biggest chunk of discretionary cash in the year for Christmas and whatnot.
Yes, yeah, that was
let's just try to settle down a little bit.
The whole group text of me and my Notre Dame buddies was a bunch of old men complaining about flight change charges over the last 2 days. Like, this trip's already, and they're all rich. They're all lawyers and CEOs and all that. Like, I'm the poorest one on the group text, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm listening to all these, I'm watching all these really rich guys sitting there going, oh, this $60 a ticket. That's I got my whole family here. You know, like how you get
that's
that.
How you. That's how you stay
that's
rich.
My co-host would say, "Go
you
die."
Stay stingy.
Yeah.
One of my most impressive things I learned as a young man, and I started to meet some of these like super rich people because I was lucky enough to be playing in the NFL.
Right.
It was like, oh wow, some of these guys are really stingy.
Yeah.
Like it's you get to see. It's a lot easier to get rich than it is to stay rich.
Yes.
Neither of them are easy, but far more, as we know, far more people get rich than there are people who stay rich.
Yeah.
A very good portion of the people who get rich end up not so rich.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you, I don't know the last time that I opened up the alumni magazine. Cornell, you probably get, I don't know if you get a Cornell magazine or not.
Like, I've pretty much stiff-armed everything the last 5 years, so I don't get much anymore.
Yeah, so I still get the Notre Dame alumni magazine, like once a month, or it's once every 2 months, I forget.
Yeah.
And I used to open it a lot, and then when I got into radio and my income, like, plummeted because I was startup in radio, I'm doing fine now, but, like, back when I was, like, super poor, I would never open that thing, man. I'm like, oh, this person's curing cancer. This person started his own hedge fund. Sean's on a station with a bad signal.
That's where you
plowing
need to,
through his savings.
That's where you got to go in hard to the petty, Sean. People will tell you not to be like this, but it's effective enough. Just assume that they all have horrible home lives. They're like, oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, he did that, but at what cost?
That's what I do. And I do that on Facebook, actually, with some of them, you know, this day. I'm like, I know he's not happy. He looks happy.
Oh, yeah, you know when you know for sure that he's not happy.
Boy, a Christmas card sure looks pretty glorious. Do a card for the other 23 hours and 55 minutes of the day. Yeah. So that's funny. So you like Notre Dame's defense, huh? You like that?
I do,
last
night. That was, I mean, they ended up with, God, how many sacks? Four sacks in the game?
Four
like
sacks.
Like five TFLs. They were just living in the backfield.
Yeah.
It's a gutsy bunch. They blitz like crazy.
Yeah.
And that was fun to watch.
They're missing their two best players. And they have Benjamin Morrison is their All-American corner. He goes out for the year. That's the cool thing about, like, for me, where Notre Dame is at right now is, like, oh, wow, they're at that stage where they lose their All-American corner. So they pull this true freshman in, this Leonard Moores from Texas, and he's been dynamite all year long. You know, they lost a player named Riley Mills, who looks like chunky J.J. Watt. He's number 99. He's huge. He's white, but he's got a lot of baby fat on him, but he's super disruptive.
Yeah.
They lost him to a knee injury in the Indiana game. And like you just said, they still have nine tackles for loss and four sacks, and they're living in the backfield all night. You know.
But then you got Donovan Heinisch, who is like the opposite, right? Isn't he kind of like a sleeker Kurt Heinisch?
He is.
He's built a little bit more defensive end like. Yeah.
He's not the barrel that Kurt Heinisch is. He wears the same number though. He looks like he looks like with the jersey and with the face paint and the actual face behind the face paint. He looks like if Kirk Heinisch went on like a CrossFit binge and just totally cut out carbs.
You know, that's like Steve and Seth McKinney.
Oh, really?
Former Aggies and Steve was a Texans teammate of mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Steve is really fit now too.
Yeah.
But Seth got, I think Seth owned or still owns a CrossFit.
Oh, really?
So it was literally exactly what you just said.
That's funny.
So Steve's in really good shape.
Yeah.
He's slimmed down and everything. But then you see Seth and you're like, oh, that's like one of these 50-year-old guys from Instagram. Yeah.
Yes,
that's
a swim English channel.
Talk about guys that make you feel bad about yourself.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep, totally. Steve McKinney, slender and in shape, and owns several McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right. Steve owns a bunch of McDonald's, and Seth owns a CrossFit.
That's great. That's great. All right, we're off and running. Football Friday. Let's get it. Texans and Titans. We'll do the six-pack. There are storylines for this game. I know the outcome means nothing to the standings, but there is actually a ton to watch in this game on Sunday. We'll tell you exactly what coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln of Sugarland. On the Southwest Freeway, exit Kirkwood and take the first U-turn at West Airport under the giant American flag. It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, okay, I'm going to read this one text, and then I'm going to assume that anybody texting in something similar the rest of the day is just trolling me. Come on, Sean. Notre Dame beat a Georgia team missing their starting quarterback, and they only scored one touchdown on them. It's a win, I'll give you that, but it's not like they beat the top teams. Okay, let me point out, Georgia won the SEC, and if you're going to talk about this quarterback thing, They won the SEC because Carson Beck, who has sucked all year, got hurt, and this Gunnar Stockton came in and won the game for them. So that's I'm not looking. I know Carson Beck declared for the NFL. He will fail in the NFL. That's the worst quarterback face I've ever seen all time, Carson Beck. He's going to suck in the NFL. Gunnar Stockton at least has a strong chin. But it's the quarterfinals. These are all good teams. What the hell are you talking about, you dummy? Yes, you dummy. I'm saying
he's
that.
He's trying to steal your joy, Sean. Don't let him steal your joy.
He won't.
Don't let him steal your joy.
He won't. It's a win. It's Georgia. He's acting like they beat Wake Forest in week 10 in November or something. It's Georgia. They're still a good football team.
Yeah.
And by the way, Notre Dame's favored over Penn State. I hate to break it to you, Texter. The oddsmakers think that you're going to have to watch them play two more times. Sorry about it. Man. All right. Let's get to this Texans game, Seth.
You sound like a Chiefs fan now.
This season
has turned Chiefs fans into the most insufferable weirdos. They actually did pretty well winning three Super Bowls without getting annoying as a fan base. But now that they're winning as many games as they are, but people won't kneel down in genuflection, and they'll point out that, okay, it's kind of a weird Chiefs thing. It's driving them insane.
No, I get it. I'm with you on the Chiefs thing. I don't think I'm being unfair in my response to that text, though. They beat Georgia. They beat them by two touchdowns. I don't care how they scored the touchdowns. I don't care that they scored on a 13-yard drive after a turnover and on a kickoff return. It's the SEC champ, man. You beat them any way you can.
Who's the most successful quarterback with a bad quarterback face? Carson Beck's got a particularly rough
awful,
look because he's kind of got a weak chin and everything.
Weak chin.
He's got a little bit of an inbred hillbilly look.
Skate rat look. Yes. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a good text topic, Seth. Who's the most successful quarterback with a bad face?
Probably Eli Manning, right?
Yeah.
Because it's his facial expression, too, and everything. He was good enough that it turned from oh, no, it turns out he's not a doofus. He's actually just calm, cool, and collected.
Right.
And cool under pressure. Yeah. That's why he looks like he only has a quarter brain. Yeah.
Eli's a good one. All right, here is let's start to get appropriately amped up for this Texans Titans week 18 game on Sunday. Here was Brian Callahan, Titans coach, reminding us how big a deal this game is to one person.
I think it matters anytime you're playing a division team, regardless of record and regardless of where you're at in the season. I do think it's a game that you want to win for divisional reasons. It's a team you got to play again twice next year. This is my first time with the uniforms. I think they look great. I'm excited to wear them. I don't know. I can't speak to the importance of that to anybody else, but I'm excited. I think they look great and be fun to see them on the players.
He didn't remind us there. I was wrong. I thought he was going to say, yeah, I thought he was going to go all Jeffrey Simmons on us there. Say, yeah, it's a big deal. The question was, is this game a big deal for Amy Adams Strunk? And credit Brian Callahan. Do you think Brian Callahan wears a Bum Phillips getup at this game?
That's what I was. So for those of you he was talking about the uniforms. They're going to be wearing the Oilers uniforms. And last year Mike Vrabel wore a Bum Phillips outfit.
Yeah.
Which I thought was actually kind of disrespectful to Bum Phillips.
Yeah.
Because Vrabel looked so out of place in it. It looked like he was playing dress up on Halloween. So I don't think Brian Callahan does it. If he does, he's got to check his testicles at the door on the way in, because that'd be the second year in a row at Amy Adams Strunk. Basically, to the people of Nashville, is saying, hey, there's a reason I still live in Houston. I don't actually like or respect anything about Nashville. I'm just going to try to turn this into my little dollhouse where I'm going to pretend we're back at the Astrodome and back when Daddy was running the team. It's all, to her, it's zero about the actual city of Nashville or any actual dignity for a football coach.
Yep. Yes. All right, let's get into the storylines with this game. The first one, the Deontay Johnson debut. This might be the thing I'm watching most closely because, to be honest, it's among the most important things in this game that directly correlate to the Texans in the postseason. Here was C.J. Stroud earlier this week on Deontay Johnson getting blended into the offense here.
Yeah, he's a really skilled route runner, very knowledgeable about the game, very eager, and motivated to play well, and that's something that I like, but just really a smooth route runner, catches the ball really easy, and I think he'll do just fine here, and I'm excited to work with him and, we're building that connection.
right. CJ?
CJ's going to play. As he has said, that there's going to, D'Amico's got a plan for them. And I would imagine part of one of the reasons they want to play is developing some kind of chemistry with Deontay Johnson. Do you do that in a quarter? I don't know. I think more of it will end up being in practice. Which, by the way, speaking of practice and how much you should play in this game and everything, I don't know how the hell Jeff Okuda gets a concussion yesterday on a Wednesday practice or a Thursday practice.
He was limited with a concussion on Wednesday, and he was out with the concussion yesterday.
Okay, yeah. I thought I read it that he got the concussion.
No. He was
okay.
Listed
so that
as,
first report was okay.
Yeah. So the Wednesday right. he was well. This is all I know, Seth. He was on the Wednesday injury report, limited with a concussion, which is the first one of the week.
All
and
right.
then he was out. Yeah. So he must have something must have happened.
That makes
got
more
worse.
Sense.
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought that he got the concussion
no,
on Wednesday.
He came into the week with it.
So, Okuda's a whole other side story we'll have to discuss in the offseason.
Yeah.
But, I think that, okay, a little bit of chemistry with CJ and Deontay Johnson, if only just to get a taste for it. But I also don't need to see CJ out there a boatload. Yeah. CJ made another reference the other day to him feeling better physically while still also claiming that, no, it's not actually affecting my play.
Yeah.
So I just want him to be as healthy as possible.
To me, it's more about it's less about Deontay Johnson and C.J. Stroud getting acclimated, and it's more about Deontay Johnson getting acclimated to the playbook. Like, I'd like to see Deontay Johnson play 50 snaps so we can see that, you know, he can, you know, run multiple, you know, a bunch of different routes and run a bunch of different plays. Nico Collins was on the drive yesterday. Nico Collins, first-time Pro Bowler, on the drive, and he was asked about how things going with getting Deontay Johnson incorporated.
Getting Deontay here to the receiver group, man, it's a great piece. We needed it. The dude's a playmaker. You know, you see it on the film, smooth route running, man. Make plays when you need it. No, it's a great, great addition, man. We definitely needed him. But his dude been here locked in, working his tail off, man, you know, trying to get the playbook down pat, slowing down for him. And, you know, we there helping him along the way. You know, whatever you need, got a question, you know, I'm there to help him out. We all are. You know, but it's a great added piece, man. We need everybody if we want to get where we need to go, you know. So it's a great piece. I'm glad he's here with us, man. And we got to continue to go and focus on our goal.
I think the thing about Deontay Johnson that he's shown in his career is that he's capable of some really impressive flashes. It's a matter of consistency. Mm-hmm. And that at times it seems like if he has one bad play, it ends up being three bad plays or three drops in a row or what have you. So. Yeah. Maybe what you would expect given kind of the erratic drama that's also followed him around. That's where it makes it kind of exciting what you're only going to see him max for 5 weeks if everything's going really, really well. So you got only a few weeks here and really, realistically, 2 or 3 weeks where, maybe you get one of those stretches and those bursts and maybe in the right environment. There's potential for big upside with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about it. And there's
not
like whatever drama there's been elsewhere or anything, it just doesn't matter because the Texans aren't on the hook for a bunch of cash.
Nope.
They didn't give up anything to get him. It could work out really well. And if it doesn't, then all right, you're just back where you were already anyway.
Yeah.
With two of your top three receivers injured.
Yeah, it's like a great scratch off ticket here at the end of the year. Like, oh wow, okay, Deontay Johnson. Ooh. Let's see how it goes.
It's like when somebody gives you the stocking stuffer, the gift of a couple lottery tickets.
I always
like that.
My in-laws do that every year. We spend like 20 minutes doing scratch offs every year at Christmas time. I won $21 this year.
Ooh,
yeah,
good job.
I never win. Yeah,
and
$21.
What do you do with that? Do you cash it at the gas station?
I think so. I never cash. I just give them to Amy and she cashes them. But I think
okay.
I think you can go anywhere that sells them. I think you can cash them. So I think that's how it works.
There's got to be a limit on that. Like once if you get like a $20,000 scratch off, you're not taking.
Yeah, it's
that
probably
into
a different process.
Station.
Yeah, when that happens, I'll let you know.
Head on a swivel if you do.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I've got this $20,000 ticket.
Hello,
sir. Are you the cashier or just somebody with a bulge in your waistband?
Nothing bad
for some reason
ever happens in a convenience store. number two. So number one, Deontay Johnson. Number two. The shuffle on the offensive line. It looks like, Seth, I guess based on the brief glimpse that the media got of the offensive line this week, that we could get a Juice Scruggs at right guard situation here.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what everybody's
this, huh?
been wanting all year long.
This is the one that we're...
Yeah, all right, good.
Yeah.
They got a sack of meat there at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
You're an interior offensive lineman for the Texans. All right, good. Roll another one out.
Sack of meat.
Get out there, you fatties. Just give me 900 pounds of flesh and see what happens.
But is this one, though, like if the offensive line, I mean, you talked in week 12 about how, like, yeah, the Titans aren't good, but they match up real well with the Texans in this particular area. Like, do you take anything away from this game if this, against this group, they look coherent all of a sudden? That's a no.
I don't, I have zero expectation that's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, I would take away.
Oh,
if all of a sudden, if they're steamrolling over Jeffrey Simmons and Tavondre Sweat,
you're in.
I'll be like, oh, yeah. I give that about I give that a chance of me walking into a convenience store with a $100,000 scratch off ticket and coming out alive.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, so the shuffle on the offensive line, something to watch. Number three, and this is probably the closest thing to, like, if you care about the score of this game, don't give up the big plays that you gave up last time to this team.
Yeah, that's okay, good. Yes.
Right?
This is something that I could reasonably hope for because the defense has been so good in so many respects this season, except they let up, they have these lapses.
Yeah.
And they let up big plays. They've allowed, I think they're still in the top three for passing touchdowns against them in a bad way, the three most.
Yeah.
It's these big hiccups.
Yeah.
They play 95% of the snaps really, really well, but then on 5%, they're pooping their pants.
Yeah.
It's not even a hiccup. It's a hiccup where you, it's so forceful that you also poop yourself.
Poop yourself. Yeah, they gave up a 38-yard touchdown to a receiver with like six names, and then they give up a 70-yard touchdown to a tight end.
With a bunch of guys just kind of flailing around, like some of them jogging after the ball.
It was So
nice, clean game. We can read into that, yes.
Yep.
Need a really nice, clean game by whichever guys are out there playing.
Absolutely. All right, number four, how much playing time does C.J. Stroud get in this game? C.J. mentioned this in his media availability on Wednesday, that he's comfortable with the plan that they have.
I can say that. You know, it's, DeMeco has a plan for us, and, you know, we got to trust his plan and go out there and, you know, and play. So, you know, I'm excited. You know, it's always, it's a blessing, you know, to be able to go and play in this league whenever it is. So, you know, we're excited to play Tennessee and, you know, probably more even excited to play in the playoffs. So, but I do, you know, think that this could help us.
All right. So there's, all you got to do is hear the first 10 seconds of that. You're like, okay, I'm like 95% sure he's playing. I'm like 98% sure he's not playing more than like a quarter and a half.
It's exactly the same verbiage you use before a preseason game.
Yes.
Like, nobody goes into, unless somebody's coming off of an injury, you don't go into a game in the regular season talking about we've got a plan for him.
Yeah.
That's unless they have an injury and you're like, all right, we've got a plan, we're gonna work him in, whatever. Like, this is this sounds exactly like a preseason game, which is probably how they'll treat it. And there's a part of me that's, it's kind of like when Bobby Slowick gets up at his press conferences right now. There's just certain things that I just don't have an appetite to listen to. And I right now, I don't want to listen to, well, we've got a plan because we want to be sure that these guys get out there and get some confidence back. Or what? Like, all right. Listen, they're grown men. They made their beds.
Yeah.
They've been disappointing and inept on offense for 17 weeks. Because they had a bad game versus the Ravens, now they need to have their little feeling. They need to be tucked in tight at night before you go to. You got to get feeling good about yourself before your big day next week.
Yep.
Nah,
no,
just I would prefer to just rest a lot of the guys like CJ, but I get it.
Yep.
Go out and just then. I hope it doesn't blow up in your face.
I do too.
Because if you go into it with a preseason plan and you're like, well, remember Ryan Fitzpatrick's first preseason game, where you're thinking like, with the Texans.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, they'll go out and get a series or two. They ended up playing the whole first half because
sucked.
They couldn't get a first down.
Yeah, they were bad. It was against Arizona. I remember that. That was my first ever post-game show at Sports Radio 610. I was firing everybody after that game.
Yeah.
After the first preseason game, I was firing everybody.
So like, CJ,
is this how you do the post-game show? You fire everybody after the first preseason game?
Well, eventually Bill O'Brien would fire Ryan Fitzpatrick because you got to get Brian Hoyer in the building whenever you can. Whenever you get a chance to get Brian Hoyer in the building, you got to take it.
You don't walk, you run. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, the guy that sniffed Tom Brady's jock. Hell yeah. He knows the system.
You're in, yeah. Number five, and again, this is maybe in the category of something only I care about, but the 10-game road winning streak in the AFC South. Seth, you asked that I do this. Well, I don't know that you asked that. You suggested it yesterday, and I said, that sounds like a good project. I'm going to go do this. What would the parlay have paid if you opened up a parlay in week 11 of 2021 when the Texans played the Titans in Nashville and just kept adding on and adding on and adding on with every road game successively that the Texans had up until now, it would be a 10-game parlay, and $100 would have paid $1.166 million.
That's how rare an occurrence something like this
is. It is an 11,669 to one shot.
And it's notable because during that time, look, say whatever you want about the AFC South. At times, the Texans have been the worst team in the AFC South as they've had that streak. At times, they faced good football teams over that stretch. It is it's pretty crazy. Now I don't know if you could have walked into a book in 2021 and be like, hey, what are the odds right now on winning 10 in a row in the AFC South on the road?
Right. You probably couldn't have, but it's crazy. And they were underdogs in the first 7 of those 10 games. That's the wild part. Like, to your point, those were bad Texan teams that were, you know, granted they weren't going into Arrowhead and doing it, but they were going in and playing a team that was way better than they were at the time. So, yeah, they were a cumulative total of 33.5-point underdogs across those 10 games. Like, if you add up all the spreads, the Texans were getting 33.5 points over those 10 games. So it's pretty remarkable.
Maybe there is a person out there that laid this bet down somehow.
Well, you could always bet $100. I mean, it's not a parlay necessarily, but you could have walked in week 11 of 2021 at plus 350, laid $100 down, got your $350 back, and said, "Well, I'll take my $350 and keep laying it down." Yeah,
that's letting it ride.
Yeah.
So what's so if you had. Now, what are the odds? Now, is this $1,166,000 that you would have won on $100? That's if you go all the way through the last Jaguars game.
Correct.
What if you won this next one,
That's
too?
A good question. I'll add it to the parlay. I'll do it during the break. I'll add it to the parlay. Yeah. Texans are a one-point favorite. So it probably
that's
like
a spect
double.
Respect right there.
Yeah, it probably like double because they're like minus one. It'd be like, probably be over $2 million that you would get out of it for sure. All right, we're off. Oh, by the way, my prediction on this game, as if it matters, it's not doesn't matter for the standing. Seth will give his later. I'm going to pick the Texans, 23-16. You know, even with the backups, they're still the more talented team.
It's one thing that's important to remember is that they've looked like absolute hot garbage with Mason Rudolph as their quarterback and like that. So it's the Titans.
Play.
Titans are a very bad football team that also beat the crap out of the Texans in the second half of their game last time.
So the Texans, I'm hoping they come in, you know, feeling a little something about seeing those Oiler uniforms, and not even about the Oiler part of it, but just but it was like just seeing the Titans across. It was a month ago that they embarrassed you.
Yeah, it's
home.
A tough, gritty bunch here. Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they'll be all.
You don't seem
all fire and brimstone.
You don't seem so. Well,
sure,
now,
the offensive line won't be just 30 pounds extra fat because it's Christmas and
Now I'm amped for 9 o'clock. The 9 o'clock. I can't wait to hear your prediction for this game. all right, we'll get to headlines next. Injury updates for the Texans. College football last night. A whole lot more. We'll do that coming up next. Stay there.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast. Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines, baby. All right, the Texans, they play the Titans on Sunday. You can hear the game noon on Sports Radio 610 Sunday, 9 o'clock, Texans Countdown. Seth and I have you for that. CJ Stroud, what's your approach for this game on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, just want to end the season the right way, you know, on a positive note. So, you know, got to be ready to play and go up to Tennessee. And, you know, that's a good defense up there. They have a lot of good players. So, you know, we got to be in our A game and, you know, try to end the season the right way.
There you go. CJ, I'll say this, like, CJ, I watched his whole press conference on Wednesday. He doesn't seem super amped for this game.
I'm not happy with this offense, man.
Let's go, Seth. Seth, we are light. We're light on headlines today. Go ahead.
I've had enough. I've reached the brink. I just can't do it. I just can't. I don't know, man. It's been such a disappointment in so many regards offensively this entire season. And it's not CJ's fault that he has to get up and speak every week.
Yeah.
He's at a point where there's nothing he can say that hasn't already been said or anything else. But rolling into this game and treating it like it's a preseason game, I'm talking about D'Amico and everybody else. It's the 17th game, and you're going out there to what? Like to try to figure out how to play football? I mean, well, like, what are we even doing here? Yeah. It's absolutely insane. And the only thing in my mind that can really salvage any kind of dignity or respect for the offense is if CJ himself just goes on a heater and starts playing out of his brain and, like, manages to deal with the poor pass protection that he's been getting, the 100% complete lack of any kind of consistent run game. Like, any of that, if somehow CJ can overcome all of that. But no, they're going to roll him out for this meaningless football game so he can do what? Like, have some kind of chemistry? Or, like, something's going to click that way? The only thing that can actually get the offense going is if CJ is as healthy as possible and goes on some kind of freakish run in the playoffs where he's basically doing it all by himself. Because the rest of these guys, I mean, for the most part, this is a soft offense full of soft human beings, except for a couple of exceptions.
Are you?
And it just, that's what they are. Mm-hmm. There's no going out there for a quarter or two where you're going to get that right. This is what's going to happen. If Devondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons play the full game, they are going to bash the crap out of the Texans' offensive linemen. There is nothing in my mind that thinks that Texans' offensive line, who got so thoroughly manhandled by the Tennessee Titans' defensive line, as long as the Titans all play, I don't know what this offensive line is going to do to not get manhandled again. If they prove me wrong, I will be so excited. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that they've done since from week two of the season on that shows they have that in them.
No.
So I don't know why CJ is going to be out there, because this is not like, CJ's not soft. Joe Mixon's not soft. Nico Collins isn't soft.
Yeah.
Tank Dell's not soft, but he's also not out there. And probably a couple other guys that I'm missing, but the rest of it, this is a soft offense. And you're going out there and you're playing against a defense for the Titans. Yes, they're on a bad team, but that defensive line is exactly the type of football players I'd like to have on my football team.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the crap out of the Texans last time.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I don't know what we're even doing here.
Yeah.
Like, CJ's got to get up and tell, like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go out there and we're going to have a plan. Okay, good luck. Good luck.
Yeah, you're not mad at CJ at that answer. You're mad he's being put in the situation where he has to answer the question that way, kind of, right?
I'm mad at the whole scenario.
The whole thing,
I'm just mad at the offense in general.
Yeah.
I've just had enough.
Yeah.
It's 2025. I've got new underwear. I've got a new diet plan, but I'm stuck with the same old offense.
Same old offense,
yeah.
But that, you know, but if they keep
that playing, offense doesn't deserve my new Hanes.
They don't. Hanes, huh? Old school.
That's what I got myself for Christmas.
Fruit of the Loom.
Oh yeah, I don't mess around. I just, like, underwear is underwear. I'm trying to get off of underwear altogether.
Really? Commando?
I'd like to start
huh?
freeballing it. Yeah, except the Houston climate makes that a bit tough. You know,
it gets a little swampy. Yeah. I would say so too.
It's really the only thing I have to look forward to is a new underwear strategy for 2025.
Until the offense gets it going, you're damn right.
Yeah.
Now,
honestly, good luck with Devondre Sweat.
Yeah.
Good luck. You're putting CJ Stroud out to face Devondre Sweat with three inept interior offensive linemen. You know, like, all right, if CJ gets injured by Devondre Sweat, felling himself on top of him, because that's what it's like. It's like a redwood being felled in the forest. I will flip the hell out. I'm going to break everything in my house. I'm going to freaking lose it.
And if that happens, it's on D'Amico Ryans, right? I mean,
it's
D'Amico's choice. This is his choice to do this. Yeah. So it's a ballsy choice, man. All right, well, let's hear from D'Amico. Let's go to the side of the ball that won't get you as angry, Seth. The defensive side of the ball. They get Azeez Alshire back in this game. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the return of Azeez Alshire.
Yeah, I want to see Aziz get back out there and play football. It's been, you know, 3 weeks since he's been able to get out there and play, so it's just a matter of getting back out, hitting guys, getting used to hitting the ground again, getting up, making sure everything, you know, is still, it takes reps, you know, and real live reps. When you missed as much, you know, the time that he's missed, you have to get that real live action, right? And that's what he needs, getting back till he's excited to get back out there and play for us, and we're excited to have him back. You know, we've really missed his leadership, missed his communication, you know, not only on the defensive side, but for our entire team. So I'm fired up to have him back for us.
Yeah, I got to shift gears here now and start thinking more positively. And because you know what makes me feel positive? Violence.
Yeah.
Legal, clean, good old American football violence. And at the very least, the Texans defense, even though they're you know, and I've said this all season, this isn't just based on the Ravens game or anything, they're just below being a genuinely really good defense.
Yeah.
Like, just below, and it's just a little of the flaws here and there, the blown coverages or mental errors or what have you. But they're very close. And Azeez Elshire makes a big difference. So headed in the playoffs, I think Toa, I mean, he's been so much better this year.
Yeah.
And he stepped in and he was a signal caller with Azeez out. And I think he did a great job and way better than I would have thought at the beginning of the season. But Azeez is just a guy that ties it all together because he's got so much experience. He's got such a high football IQ. And then you add in his actual playmaking ability that, yes, Azeez being back is going to be a sight for sore eyes.
Yeah, I'm excited. They get their full complement of linebackers for the first time all season. Like, Azeez, mm-hmm. Azeez has yet to take the field with Christian Harris. Christian Harris came back the first game of Azeez Elshire's suspension against the Dolphins.
Yeah, and I think, look, you go against, if they have to face the Ravens again. So if they have to face the Ravens again, having somebody like Azeez, God, please no. That team broke me, man. You remember before the Ravens game, my thought was, all right, you know what? If you want to make a playoff run, you got to probably go through the Ravens at some point. So I'd like to have the Ravens in the first round at home. That was what I felt like up to 3 minutes before the Ravens game.
31-2 will change your mind quickly, I think.
Now I don't want to ever see them ever again.
No, I hope they get disbanded ever. Out of the league. I hope it's a 31-team league next year and the Ravens all get abducted by aliens.
Yeah. Right.
That'll be great.
But if they were to face the Ravens again, having somebody like Azeez, when you got to face that zone read game, that RPO game, a lot of that stuff that really puts the linebackers and defensive ends in a bind. And I would include in that the way the defensive tackles were getting just really crushed on whams and traps and everything in that game. I think having Azeez out there can kind of stem the tide quicker. He can make the on-field adjustments and know what's going on. Just all these little micro adjustments, it makes a big difference having somebody like him.
All right, college football yesterday afternoon, Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame beat Georgia 23-10. First time in 30 years Notre Dame's won a major bowl game.
Congratulations. Good job. I'll say good job, Sean.
Good job. Thanks.
I'm going to give you credit for the win.
I appreciate that. They are on to the Final Four, so it'll be Texas and Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. That'll be next Friday, a week from today. 6 days from today on January the 9th in the Orange Bowl, it'll be Notre Dame against Penn State. Texas is a 6-point underdog to Ohio State. Notre Dame is a small favorite over Penn State in the semifinals.
Hey, let me ask you this, Sean.
Yeah.
Because, and I should have asked you this a long time ago. Obviously, Marcus Freeman's doing a hell of a job in the new college football environment. Used a few transfers to great effect last night and throughout the entire season.
No doubt.
But one thing we've wondered is if some of the more academically prestigious universities like Stanford or Notre Dame or what have you, like, because a lot of their student athletes also are really into it for the degree and their parents probably really want them to get the degree.
Yeah.
Have they been able to retain more of their players
than
some of the other big schools?
I think Notre Dame has. I mean, they get guys going in the portal. There's still guys that want to play, but I think that when the portal became a thing and when NIL became a thing, that, you mean you nailed it. I thought, like, okay, well, Notre Dame's going to have a little bit, like, just an incremental advantage, whereas, like, an SEC school might see 12 guys go into the portal. Maybe Notre Dame only sees 8 guys go into the portal because there are guys who do go there to, in part for the football and in part for the academics. They know that wherever they transfer, You know, unless they're going from Notre Dame to Stanford, like it's not going to be as prestigious an academic place. So yes.
You know, and you know, you and I both know somebody whose kid is at Texas and wasn't going to get a chance to play at Texas, but and could have transferred, but ended up. I think I don't want to speak out of turn. I think one of the reasons he ended up staying was because he just really wanted to graduate from Texas.
Yes.
You know, and get his degree there and maybe go to grad school there and everything. So there are still, if you're somebody that feels like the transfer portal is destroying all collegiate love and everything like that, there are still a lot of players out there who do genuinely like being at the school they're at.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like so many of the things in college football, like, or even like in college basketball, like the one and dones, stuff like that. It's so much of it. They're huge storylines, but it only affects like 5% of the guys. You know, they're big stories, but you got 100 guys on a team, and you've got like, you know, 12 going into the transfer portal. You know, like most of the guys are sticking around and playing football, you know?
Well, you know what the difference is, though? Because I'm thinking about some of these scenarios where, yeah, some of these kids really want to stay and get their degree there, but now we're in an environment where, oh no, the actual head football coach is like, I wish that kid would transfer.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Well, we got 85 of these,
The coaches aren't actually, the whole, like, if all you want is a football team to be better, some of the collegiate loyalty is not actually what the coach wants. Everything sucks about this new football world.
So I love it. I think it's great. So we've got our Final Four. That'll be Thursday and Friday of next week. It's a Football Friday. We're going to talk Texans plenty here in the NFL at large. It's Week 18, so there are certain things to root for. We'll give you the rooting guide to the weekend a little later in the show. The gods have blessed us with another chance to clown the Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, my gosh.
The Colts and the Jets are in a competition right now to see who can have more tell-all stories made about how dysfunctional they are behind the scenes. We will have some phenomenal details on the team that is next in the standings behind the Texans in the AFC South next.